Welcome to the Church of Whistling Pines live feed. We welcome you, and this is Palm Sunday. This is when we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and this is when we start Holy Week. Next Sunday is Easter. This is obviously completely different for us, for the rest of the world. Easter is usually the busiest Sunday, the most attended Sunday for church, as far as people piling into buildings, and all across the world, buildings will be empty. But as I've seen all over Facebook, and I'm sure you have too, the tomb was empty also on Good Friday, and or whether you think it's Thursday or Wednesday or whenever it was, that Jesus, the tomb was empty, of course, that Jesus was resurrected. And so we have a special service planned for today, and so hopefully you have your family with you, or if it's just yourself, hopefully you've blocked out about an hour or more to worship with us and celebrate this Holy Week. We're going to look at Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion and look at this time of Jesus' sacrifice. If you have your family with you and your kids, we also have on our Facebook page a handout that our kids directors, Obed and Emily Acevedo, have prepared for us. Also, they have a video on there that is really exciting. You should check that out as well, but wait till after the service so you can check that out later. You will not be disappointed, and please wait to watch it all the way till the end. It's about 7 minutes. They do a video with their family acting it out, and it's really awesome and precious, so make sure that you watch that. Also, wanted you to be aware that next Sunday, which is Easter, we are going to do for the kids a drive-through Easter basket handout. We are going to take all precautions to make sure that we do social distancing and all of those things. We're going to make sure that everything is good and you keep in your cars. And everybody's invited, not just our church members, everybody from the community. Come by the church at 2 p.m. next Sunday, Easter Sunday, and get an Easter basket for the family, for your kids. That's Easter Sunday, next Sunday at 2 p.m. Also wanted you to know, please make sure that you like or comment as you're watching, and host a watch party as well on Facebook. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Sean McCracken. I'm the lead pastor here, and just wanted to open us up with prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can gather together. We thank you for technology, Lord, that we can be in the safety of our homes. God, that we can gather on computers, laptops, our phones. God, that we can do this live. We can do this later, whether we're watching this live or we're watching this later on Sunday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever it is, Lord. Thank you for this capability and this opportunity to do this, Lord. Lord, we pray for this outbreak that is upon our cities, our local communities, Lord, as well as our state and our governments, Lord, our nation, our world, Lord. 151 countries. God, this is unlike anything that anyone in our generations have gone through, Lord. Lord, we just pray for safety for those who have not contracted COVID-19, Lord, and obviously for those who have, Lord. We pray, God, for your protection. We pray for your healing in Jesus' name. God, we pray that you would stop this, Lord, that you would do what you only can do. And Lord, since this has happened, Lord, you've stopped all things, Lord. You have stopped people going to restaurants. You've stopped sporting events. You've stopped entertainment events, Lord. You have stopped us pretty much from going out of our homes, Lord. You've even closed church doors as far as gathering together. Lord, we pray, God, that you would show us what you were saying to us, God. And Lord, we also repent before you, God. Your word says that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And so, God, we ask, Lord, that during this time we would be sensitive to what you were saying to us. Lord, that we would have ears to hear what you were saying in this time. God, that prophetic words would come forth to your people, Lord, and that we would hear you, God. Lord, that you redeem all things, Lord, and that even this time, this season, Lord, is not a mistake, Lord. Lord, I'm not saying that you have caused this or that you have sent this upon your people, Lord. I don't believe that, but I believe that you can redeem all things and that you can use this, Lord. So, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? What can we take from this? Lord, how can we be better because of this? God, I pray that you would watch over your people and, Lord, that we would come out of this greater because of going through this. And Lord, that your gospel would be more infectious than COVID-19. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lynn.
Hey, good morning, church. My name is Lynn, and I am here to tell you it's time for offering. And that actually wasn't bad for seven people. But I would like to ask Sean, this occurred to me, to get like, not a laugh track, but an applause track. Yes. So that next week when we introduce offering, it's just rah. Yes. So in this church, we are honored and thrilled and happy to present our offerings to the Lord. We recognize that everything that we have comes from God. All good gifts come from God. And the fact that we are able to do this, that we have our health, that we have many of us still have our jobs, and that he is providing for us, we feel that it is only, it's not our duty, it's our pleasure to give back a portion of what he has given to us. So I do want to remind you that even though we're all staying home, we still have an opportunity to give. There is a way on the Facebook page that you can give, or you can, there's a text thing. I don't do the text thing.
84321.
84321. If you text that, you can send money that way. That's for all you youngsters. And then I think the mail is still working, so feel free to mail in a check as well. And before we go on, the other thing that we miss doing together, and I'm talking to Brenda right now, I'm looking her right in the eye and saying that we are so sad that we can't hug each other and greet one another in the church, but you can do that virtually. You can do that certainly at home with the people that you're watching with, but also if you are on live stream, you can give comments, you can push little hearts, you can do all sorts of little things, and if you're on Facebook, you can also do that. And we want to encourage you to, at this time, this is like our virtual meet and greet your neighbors. So go ahead and say hello in the chat for the service that you're watching, whether it's live stream or Facebook. Let people know that you're there and that you're listening. And that's a way that you can kind of connect with one another. Then the other thing that Sean mentioned was a watch party. If you're on Facebook and you're watching this on Facebook, you're doing it through the church's page. So basically, you're watching it with everybody else that is either a member or a friend of this church. But if you host a watch party, and you can do that just by clicking that little button up there, it actually posts it to your page, and it will invite your friends. And so those of you who feel funny about inviting people to real church, that's a way to just say, hey, guys, this is what I'm doing for those people in your life that might not be a part of our church, but that you would like to invite to be a part of what we're doing. So I think that's it. That's how you give. That's how you can maintain fellowship with the rest of us here. And now I just want to pray over offering, and then we'll continue in worship. God, we are grateful, as always, for all of the blessings that you give us. God, we're thankful that when you close the doors, you can still open our hearts. God, we're grateful for the technology that allows us to reach through the airwaves and connect with other like-minded people. But more importantly, God, we're grateful for the opportunity that this might reach somebody who would never step foot through our doors. That, God, somebody would hear this morning of your love and your sacrifice. God, your dominion. God, that nothing that happens in our lives is a surprise to you, God, that you hold us in your hand, that you care for us more than we can fathom. God, I pray for the members of this church. God, I'm grateful for their generosity. I pray that you would provide the means for them to meet their needs. God, that you would provide this church with opportunities to reach out and help people and further your kingdom. Bless the offerings that come in, God, during this hard time, and bless the people that give them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I did forget one thing. We have an awesome opportunity today. It's going to be a little bit different. We're going to take communion together. It's going to be virtual communion since you were not here. I sent out a video to the church earlier in the week to prepare you. I realized that most people do not have matzah crackers or unleavened bread at home, and that's okay. Jesus used unleavened bread because it was here, and if you were here at church this morning, we would have matzah crackers and grape juice to represent the body and blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary for the remission of our sins. But just use anything that you have in your home. We're not making light of it or cheapening it or anything like that, but after all, Jesus was just using it as a metaphor or an illustration of his body and his blood. So anything that you have at home, it could be bread, even though it's leavened, it's okay. It's still just an illustration, or saltine crackers or anything like that, and any kind of juice or water or milk or Coca-Cola or anything like that. Again, not making light of it. I'm not cheapening it or anything like that, but just gives us an opportunity to do something together. We'll be doing that a little bit later in the service when we're reading. Thank you.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. Yeah. I see his love and mercy washing over all my sin. The people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna,
praise you this morning. Lord, we say Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. God, thank you for your love. God, thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. God, as we do something different this morning and strictly read straight from the scripture with no teaching on it, just interspersed worship and your word, God, I pray that you would touch our hearts. God, that we would hear this story as we've never heard it before. God, this is going to be so familiar to so many people, but Lord, I pray that you would give us fresh ears to hear, fresh eyes to see, and mostly, God, that you would cleanse our heart to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As Lynn prayed, we're doing something different today. Will you please turn in your Bibles if you have them? If you don't, go into the other room, go into your library, go into your bedroom, grab your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to read straight through Matthew chapter 26 through 27. As Lynn prayed, we're going to intersperse reading and worship. We want you to join with us and read along, starting with Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. "But not during the feast," they said, "or there may be a riot among the people." While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man named Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price, and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will have with you, but you will not always have me." But when she poured this perfume on my body, she did to prepare me for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 silver coins for them, and Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him after, one right after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand in the bowl with me will betray me." John's gospel says that he dipped the bread in the bowl and handed it to Judas. And John says that immediately Satan entered into Judas. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus said, yes, it is you. At this time, hopefully you've made preparations and have some elements to take. Why don't you get those ready right now?
This is my body given for you. This is the cup that holds the blood of a new covenant. This is forgiveness, simple and true. This is the way that I have made for you. Before you eat, before you drink, take a long look inside and tell me what you see. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the bread of life broken for you. This is the cup that holds the wine of a new covenant. This is the love of Christ poured out anew. This is the Son of God who died for you. Before you hear, before you dream, take a long look inside and tell me what you see. Then do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me.
Verse 26 of chapter 26. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Lord, we just give you thanks for this element, Lord, that represents your body. But your body was broken and bruised. Mutilated, Lord. It was mutilated, Lord, so that we wouldn't have to be physically or spiritually or in any other way, Lord. You took this abuse so that we would not have to be. God, and as often as we take this, Lord, we're reminded of what you've done for us, Lord. And we do show your death until you return. Lord, we glorify you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake of this element. Verse 27. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." I believe it's Luke's gospel that says, "Drink it all." Father, we bless you. We thank you for sending your Son, Lord, to shed his blood on Calvary. Lord, for the remission of our sins. Lord, from the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned and you clothed them with sheepskin, with animal skin, Lord, that was the first sacrifice. And then the law was sacrificed, and it was first animal that blood had to be shed, Lord, and then your Son came to shed his blood for the remission of sins once and for all, Lord, that sins cannot be accounted for without the remission of blood, without blood being shed, Lord. And we just thank you, God, that you sent your Son to do that for us. Lord, we thank you for this precious sacrifice. And Lord, when you said to drink it all, I believe you meant to not just take a portion of it, to not just taste of it, Lord, but to partake of it all and to continue it, Lord. So that's what we do today, Lord. We drink it all in Jesus' name. Love that he says the next time that he drinks with this, it will be in his Father's kingdom. That will be the supper, the Lamb's supper in heaven. Verse 30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
The stars, I hear the rolling. shall come. Shall fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if I fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch for me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done.
To count it all joy, distracted by the noise, just trying to make sense. plans are for me. Goodness you have in store. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Like a child on my knees, calling on to me. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. I know you see.
When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scripture be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. Chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit on his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you?" Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with the Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Where our help comes from. Oh, 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 oh. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the blood field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. And while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of these two men do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "Well, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead of an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him, and they took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. And they had mocked him. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There, they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by him hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from that cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And in the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
Sunday morning storm rolled away.
Sunday morning storm rolled away.
Sunday morning, there's nothing in that grave,
but there ain't no stopping love.
No, there ain't no stopping love.
From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of them standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. And the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those whom he was guarding, Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many people were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb. And he had cut it out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard.
Thank you.
here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship.
You're working, even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop.
Yeah.
never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. And that is who you are. And that is who you are. And that is who you are. 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 You are.
Thank you for making a way. Thank you for your willing sacrifice on the cross. God, may we never, ever take that for granted. Those of us who have heard the story and seen the movie and read the scripture time and time again, God, may we never, ever take it for granted. God, may it touch us today as it did the first time we heard this story, God. And may you feel our gratitude, God, our overwhelming gratitude and awe for what you did on the cross.